Welcome to episode 439 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. If faith pleases God, then what do we do with our doubt? Are our questions a sign that we lack saving faith? Is doubt the opposite of faith? Is faith about making ourselves feel certain? These are critical and nuanced questions. We examine 9 passages of Scripture from the New Testament that address the issue of doubt. Matthew 21, verse 21. And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen." As Jesus is traveling with his disciples from Bethany to Jerusalem, he's hungry. Seeing a fig tree, he comes to it and finds nothing, nothing but leaves. He curses the tree and it immediately withers away. The disciples marvel at this and ask him how he was able to get the tree to wither so quickly. Jesus' response is about prayer. He tells the disciples that prayer coupled with sincere belief is more powerful and effective than they comprehend. Don't be surprised at what happened to this fig tree, he tells them. There is nothing compared to the work you will do in prayer. When we pray, do we pray with fervent belief or do we pray with doubt? James 1 verses 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This passage specifically concerns praying for wisdom. James tells us that if we feel like we lack wisdom, we should pray for it. God wants to give us understanding, but it doesn't do us any good to pray for wisdom if we don't believe God can give it to us. This lack of belief, this doubt, this is what makes us unstable and double-minded. We're praying for revelation, but we don't believe it will come. How can we benefit from divine wisdom if we doubt its existence? However, James is not saying that the strength of our belief is a defining variable in every prayer we pray. No one should feel like a tragedy could have been avoided if they just had more faith. Mark 9, verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." This father's expression of faith is one of the most honest and meaningful statements about doubt in the entire New Testament. Faith and doubt aren't opposing positions on the same light switch. There are often conditions that exist side by side. This man asked Jesus to intervene because he does believe. He believes enough to bother asking, but he could believe more. We could always believe more. And nothing seems more meaningful than using our existing faith to ask for more faith. Matthew 28, verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What kind of doubts? Matthew doesn't tell us. Doubts that he was the Messiah? Doubts in his divinity? Doubts in the mission? Maybe a mixture of all these things? What we do know is that Jesus doesn't chastise them. He doesn't tell them, "I was going to give you some critical information, but since you still don't fully believe, I'm not going to." He doesn't say, "You know, I thought that you were ready to go out and make disciples of all nations, but that doubt, that makes me a little bit reluctant to actually give you this charge." Instead, he meets them where they are. He confides in them and charges them with their new responsibilities. Why? Because their faith isn't defined or delimited by any specific moment of doubt. Almost every one of these men will be martyred for their faith. Their faith is much bigger than those momentary questions and fears might suggest. Is there some good news in there for you? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. the writer of Hebrews defines faith for us. It's confidence in a future we hope for and assurance in what we don't see. This is the belief that pleases God. We mustn't read this as faith is confidence in our confidence and assurance in our assurance. Faith that redeems us is confidence in Jesus, the object of our hope. Think of faith as a pair of glasses through which we gaze upon what we hope for, what we long for, what we desire. The glasses help us see what we hope for more clearly, and they help us push through to grab hold of it. But we need to be careful not to make an idol out of belief. Our faith isn't the object of our faith. It's a tool we use to see and grab hold of Jesus. Also, we ought not to see doubt as evidence of our faithlessness. Not all doubt is the same. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fear often causes us to doubt, but perfect love casts out fear. Romans 10 verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If we spend time seeking Christ in his word, our faith will grow and our doubts will diminish. John 20 verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." After Jesus is raised from the dead, he appears to the disciples. But John says Thomas wasn't with them. They believed because they were there and saw the Lord. Earlier, when Mary tried to tell them that she had seen the Lord, they didn't believe her either. Thomas responds like anyone asked to believe something that seems too outlandish and extraordinary. He wants to see the evidence with his own eyes. The beautiful thing is that Jesus makes a special trip to accommodate him. Again, the Lord doesn't berate or belittle the disciple. Jesus shows Thomas the scars and encourages him to believe. And Thomas responds with heartfelt worship. Jesus' final statement here is critical. It's one thing to see and believe, but a vast majority of Jesus' followers will not have that luxury. They won't get to touch his scars. And by saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed," Jesus recognizes that faith isn't simple or easy. If you struggle with doubt, Jesus completely understands. Jude 1 verse 22, "And have mercy on those who doubt." Faith isn't static. We could have strong faith today and tomorrow go through something that makes us question everything. It's incredibly important that we treat one another with tenderness and care, because that's how we protect doubt from becoming disbelief. When Thomas said that he wouldn't believe because he felt the Lord's wounds, he didn't want faith. He wanted certainty. He was saying, "I will believe it when you prove it to me." But faith isn't certainty. It is belief in the face of questions and misgivings. It is trust despite doubt. For people to grow in faith, they need the freedom to take tentative steps. They need to trust that their questions will be met with gentleness. It's when doubt is met with mercy that faith expands. There you have it. 9 passages of scripture that speak to the issue of doubt. Father, help our unbelief. May we not dwell on our doubts, but strengthen our faith. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.